Radio Prague News.
2,000 people have marched through Prague in protest against Health Minister David Rath. The Czech Academy of Sciences has distanced itself from a letter of protest written by some of its members. And police have seized large amounts of illegal alcohol during a raid at a production facility in Ciechany's central Bohemia. The march, attended by doctors, dentists, pharmacists and nurses, was meant to end a week of protest actions by those who disagree with recent reform measures made to the healthcare sector. Critics of Rath's policies warn against what they see as nationalization of healthcare. Organizers of Friday's march dressed a live donkey in a red bow tie, characteristic of those that Minister Rath wears, and marched through Prague to the office of the government with the donkey leading the way. Minister David Rath says that the campaign against his policies is directed by the opposition Civic Democrats in an effort to discredit him prior to next weekend's elections. The Academy of Sciences of the Czech Republic has officially distanced itself from a group which on Wednesday declared its disapproval of President Václav Klaus's criticism of the European Union. Academy of Sciences President Václav Pacas says that his institution is scientific and apolitical in nature, and that 66 prominent Czech scholars who signed a letter in protest of President Klaus's opinions do not represent the Academy's position and were merely expressing their personal opinion. President Václav Klaus is known for his criticism of European Union integration, and at least 15 Academy members signed the official letter of protest against him. Among the signatories were Senator Josef Jažab and philosopher and former presidential candidate Jan Sokol. Countrywide police raids on illegal alcohol production facilities have uncovered another operation in Ciechany, a small town in the central Bohemian region. As part of an operation codenamed Vibrator, the raid in Ciechany uncovered 17,000 liters of spirits in plastic containers and over 12,000 liters of various brand-name alcohols and labels ready for use. Reports say that during one week in May, the Ciechany facility produced over 6,000 liters of rum and 4,000 liters of vodka meant for the black market. Losses in taxes to the state are expected to exceed 5 million Czech crowns. If found guilty, those charged could face up to 8 years in jail. And finally, a look at the weather. Weekend weather is expected to bring mostly overcast skies and rain, with day temperatures hovering between 13 and 17 degrees. I'm Linda Mashtalis, and that's the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, and I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in the program, the Czech Intelligence Service makes public unique documents from the history of espionage. The Roma Camorro Music Festival has been underway all week, and we talk to one of the participants. And in today's arts, we look at Mikulov's Jewish past. That and more coming up. Don't go away. For the first time ever, internet users have been given access to formerly top-secret documentation compiled by Czechoslovakia's Communist Secret Intelligence, which spied on and plotted extensively against opponents of Communist Czechoslovakia in the 1970s and 80s. Targeted were dissidents and notable exiles and opponents whose moves were monitored and phone lines tapped. Perhaps the most infamous was the bombing of Radio Free Europe's headquarters in Munich in 1981. Allowing a new look into that dark chapter in Czechoslovak history, the Intelligence Service's website has already attracted the attention of many internet users. Jan Wellinger has the details.
16 years ago, the Velvet Revolution spelt the end for Czechoslovakia's communist regime, including its notorious secret service, whose agents spied on and attempted to hurt Czech exiles abroad. Following 1989, the service was disbanded, its documents and photo documentation taken over by the emerging Office for Foreign Relations and Information, which has now made some of them available to the general public. The service's spokesman, Bohumil Schreier.
We are by law responsible for archives, which we have inherited by our communist predecessors. So we feel as an obligation, as a duty to the Czech Republic, to the public in general, to make a selection of documents which cannot have any intelligence value anymore, to put these documents on their disposal, and we selected the internet as a logical and the best medium to do it.
According to Bohumil Schreier, the most interesting and significant material deals with clandestine operations targeting former citizens in exile. Among those were people like Pavel Tigrid, sentenced to death in absentia. Other operations included the bombing of Radio Free Europe in Munich. So what has some of the reaction been so far? Former dissident and political commentator Jan Urban.
It's very, very interesting. I don't know about many similar cases when intelligence of any state goes online with its documents from past activities. I definitely welcome this. It shows how profoundly illegal was communist intelligence and its activities in the past. The Czech judiciary was unable for 17 years to deal with the communist intelligence agents like Mynárik and his plans to bomb a Radio Free Europe building in Munich. And I think that at least historians and interested public now have the opportunity to see for themselves that the communists had no hesitation in not only bugging people they disliked or suspected of anti-communist activities, but they were prepared to go further and to inflict bodily harm.
In the first 18 hours of the project's launch, the intelligence services website, which is archive.uzsi.cz, has already received remarkable attention from internet users worldwide. Spokesman Bohumil Schreier again.
I have in front of me some actual numbers from 6 o'clock in the morning, and I can say we registered 25,000 unique IP addresses, and the visitors are coming to our site from 45 countries of the world. It's absolutely vital because we are putting forward the idea that the history isn't a property of historians. History is something we have lived together. So we are putting forward the materials in the raw form. And in so doing, we are able to put forward also the atmosphere of that years past. And so it is a additional value to the website.
Bohumil Schreier, ending that report by Jan Wellinger. The Camorra World Roma Festival is once again underway in Prague. For the 8th year running, Roma musicians have been flocking to the Czech capital from all over Europe and the United States to perform everything from gypsy jazz to traditional Roma folk songs. The festival has also been offering film screenings, book readings, and an exhibition of photographs. It all culminates with a gala concert of traditional music and an international seminar, a tribute to Milena Hipšmanová, who founded the Romani Studies Department at Prague's Charles University and who died in an accident last year. While the festival's main goal is to introduce Roma culture and traditions to the rest of society, it also hopes to bring the different Roma communities from around the world closer to one another. Viennese guitarist Harry Stoika presented his project, A Tribute to Swing, at Prague's renowned jazz club Reduta. He may live just a few kilometers away from the Czech-Austrian border, but he believes the lives of the Roma in Austria and those in the Czech Republic are worlds apart. Dieter Asiedu met up with him after the show.
Thank you very much. My name is Harry Stoika. We're the Gypsy Band from Vienna. Later on, I'm going to introduce to you the band, but now we're going to play for you some Gypsy Swing songs. Yeah.
growing up in Vienna, in, you would say, a gypsy ghetto. And yeah, we were very depressed there and downpressed, and at school it was horrible for us all. And the only way to get out of this is sport or music, yes? Or any kind of art. But music and sport is and this was my, I have to say, so I have to go out. My father always said, we have to go leave this place here. You have to be a musician, you have to be famous, and you have to be good. And then you don't have to go back there.
Turning 50, so in that time that has passed since your childhood, has the situation changed in Vienna?
We are very near to the east, and many gypsies and Turkish people and Latinos and black people and many Asian people are in Vienna. It's a absolutely multicultural town. When I was a child, we was the only gypsies, and the whole power and the whole depression came to us, you know. And now you have to see, it completely changed everything. So it's good for us.
Do you ever hear about the Czech Republic being criticized for the way that they're handling the Roma community? And is there maybe some advice that you can give to the Roma community here?
The thing is, I just can say, don't isolate yourself. Go to the people, talk with them, be friendly, and try to integrate. Listen, when I come to America, yes, I have to look. I was in New York. How are the people? I can't be an Austrian there, you know. I can't say, I drank my beer and, you know. I have to look and what is all about, how does the people react and how does the people look at things. And the Roma should this do too here. I like in Vienna. I mean, we are very integrated on the majority, but we also have our traditions too, you know. In Austria, it works.
Viennese guitarist Harry Stoika there, and he was talking to Radio Prague's Dieter Asiedu. For more information about the Comoro Music Festival, please visit its official website. That's at www.comoro.cz. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for a summary of the week's economic news, for which I'm joined by Ian Willoughby.
America's third largest investment bank, Morgan Stanley, is planning to invest in the Czech Republic over 20 billion crowns. That's in the region of $1 billion, Hospodářské noviny reported this week. It will do so through the company Multi-Development, in which it acquired a majority earlier this year. The amount involved is close to that being invested by Hyundai, though spokesperson for Multi-Development said, unlike the South Korean car maker, it didn't require investment incentives.
The Czech Republic ranks 18th in the EU in terms of the number of wind power stations, according to figures released by Eurostat this week. Wind power accounts for just 0.1% of electricity produced in a country still very much reliant on coal. In fact, 66% of Czech electricity comes from coal-powered stations.
Excessive red tape is costing Czech companies billions of dollars a year because they are required by law to report over 2,000 different activities to the relevant authorities. The head of the Czech Economic Chamber told Hospodářské noviny. Jaromír Drabek said applicants have to submit documents that are already available to state institutions, like certificates from the land register. He also said officials take the longest permitted time to process applications.
The Czech Republic has the most hypermarkets per capita of any of the former communist states in Central Europe, according to a study by market research firm AC Nielsen. There are 19 hypermarkets per million inhabitants in this country, compared to 16 in Slovakia, 9 in Hungary and 6 in Poland.
The Czech lottery and betting market grew by over 7% last year, the finance ministry said this week. Czechs bet a record $4 billion in 2005, with over half of that money going into slot machines. The only area of the betting industry to report a fall was casinos.
Small cars are big business in the Czech Republic at the moment. Sales of passenger cars in the smallest category increased by 60% year on year in the first quarter, according to figures released by the Car Importers Association. In contrast, the number of standard class cars sold fell slightly. As for individual models, the best-selling was the Škoda Fabia, followed by the Škoda Octavia and the Peugeot 206.
And finally, a Czech company is helping build the world's highest building in Dubai. Pega Hoist from Pardubice are supplying 14 hoists for construction of the building, with 6 of them already in use on the site. A spokesperson for the company said Pega Hoist's product was unique because it could carry a heavy load at high speed without a balance weight. The Burj Dubai skyscraper will be more than 700 metres high, 200 metres taller than the current record holder, Taiwan's Taipei 101.
And of course you can hear a roundup of the business news same time next week. Now on Radio Prague, it's time for this week's Arts with Rob Cameron, remembering Mikulov's Jewish past with a unique cultural festival.
A haunting melody by the Jewish composer Ernest Bloch being performed here in Mikulov's beautifully restored synagogue to launch the Festival of Jewish Culture. Mikulov lives and breathes its Jewish heritage. You can feel it all around you as you walk through its winding medieval streets. And the people of Mikulov too are intensely proud of that heritage. The cello parts of this Ernest Bloch piece were played by local musician Markéta Vrbková. I spoke to her after the performance.
People, they live in history. It's important for them, and everything is continue from history. I think that in Mikulov it's most important.
Those three pieces of music that you played in the synagogue by Ernst Bloch, a Jewish composer, and the music is very Jewish, the sort of minor tones and the sadness in the music. What goes through your mind, what do you think of when you play music like this?
So these three pieces, they are called prayer, supplication and a Jewish song. So I think about prayer, about God and maybe if I played it, it depends on every part of this composition. Maybe I want to ask for something, God, and sometimes I want to say, oh God, you didn't do what I want. And sometimes I thank God. In this Jewish music, it's very strong. This thing I can communicate with God and with my heart very strongly.
The festival included exhibitions of photographs and unique Jewish artifacts and even the country's first kosher wine tasting. It's the labour of love of local historian Jan Richter, head of the Jewish department at Mikulov's Regional Museum.
Well, I'm not from here. I was born in a small village outside Brno, which is a major city about 50 kilometres away from here, and I got here about 5 years ago to work in the museum, and I like the place very much.
This exhibition of Jewish culture, it's part of the Year of Jewish Culture. In what way is this exhibition interesting or unique?
In two major ways, I would say. One of the exhibitions that are now in the synagogue in Mykolaiv is dedicated to the former Central Jewish Museum for Moravia and Silesia, which was opened here before the war. And in course of the war, all the collections were ended up in the Jewish Museum in Prague, and they were very kind. And they lend us some of the items, and they are really unique. And therefore, you know, on display for the first time after the museum was closed in 1938. And the other exhibition is also, Jewish culture in Mykolaiv is dead, and Jewish life elsewhere is going on. So we're very happy that Brian Handler could come and from Israel, and you know, the exhibition of his photographs is really amazing and very, very powerful.
You say that Jewish culture in Mykolaiv is dead. So why go to such lengths to bring the history of the Jews to Mykolaiv, to a town where there are no Jews left?
Well, it's an important part for the life of the people today. You know, everybody should realize that where they live now, it was a different place, you know, 60 or 80 years ago. You know, it's a synagogue, and we are happy that we have some Jewish monuments. And, you know, rather than exhibiting just silver plates, it might be interesting for people to see what, you know, the lives of Jewish people today.
Tell me a bit more about Mykolaiv's or Nikolberg's significance to the Jewish community before the war, before the Holocaust.
Well, right before the war, this was already a small town community, because you see, the whole Jewish history of Mykolaiv was so colorful and so rich because of the position of the town. At times when Jews couldn't settle in certain towns or cities like Vienna and Brno, this was the ideal location, because they could go to Vienna in one day and come back, and the same, you know, so the trade was very good. So the Jewish community, you know, prospered and thrived very well. And then, you know, after they were allowed to move freely and you know, decide to wherever they want to live, most of them went to Vienna, of course, all, you know, larger cities like Brno.
So there was a gradual sort of exodus to Brno and Vienna, even before the Nazis came to power in Germany, and before the sort of clouds gathered on the horizon of the Holocaust.
Oh yeah, definitely. The population, the Jewish population, dropped from about 4,000 in 1830s to about 600 in 1930.
So. And today?
Today, there are some Jewish people here. There is actually two descendants from, you know, of pre-war families as well. And some new, you know, Jewish people are coming back, but there is no, you know, it's no longer, I mean, it would take a, you know, much longer time and also probably much more effort to build a community again.
Why do you do this? Why do you spend so much time and effort on this?
I think it would be, you know, shame just not to do it. You know, there's so much, you know, to show people and so much to, you know, share with other people. So, you know, it would be, you know, I have this urge to... when I think that things and said something interesting or funny or amazing, you know, to share with other people.
Among those present at the festival's launch was a special guest who'd come all the way from London to attend the festivities.
Well, my name is William Telcher. I am here because it was my father who produced the initiative and was chairman of the Central Jewish Museum for Moravia Silesia.
You, sir, were born in Mykolaiv, is that correct?
Well, I was born in the nearest maternity home to Mykolaiv, which was Vienna, but I lived in Mykolaiv till the age of 15.
So it must be an extraordinary feeling for you to come back here so many years later.
Well, it is, as I was saying a little earlier, something, a mixture of nostalgia, recherche du temps perdu, and at the same time, a memorial to my father and to his collaborators who so tragically perished.
The unique artifacts in William Telcher's father's museum were packed up in 1938 and sent to Prague, where they languished for decades. Now, for the first time since before the war, they're once again on display. As for the people who made up the Jewish community, few of them are left alive. Those who are feel a deep personal obligation to pay tribute to Mykolaiv's Jewish past.
The recognition of the tremendous part played by the community is something that must be appreciated greatly. It is something that is owed to posterity. And if I can nilly-willy become a symbol of continuity, it's a good thing.
Mikulov born William Telcher, ending that edition of The Arts by Rob Cameron. And if you want to hear the whole interview with William Telcher, tune in to One on One on Monday, June the 5th. And if you're interested, those two exhibitions are still on in Mikulov, and you'll find more information at www.mrr.cz. That's mrr.cz. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. I'd just like to remind you that all of Radio Prague's features are available in text and sound on our webpage. That's at www.radio.cz. And, of course, you can contact us at english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and have a great weekend.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz. CZ/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.